The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you today. Thank you for making us a part of your day today. Interesting conversation that we had even in Three in the Lane, if you could believe it. We had an interesting topic being brought up.
If you can believe it, yeah, what's that mean?
Yeah, if you can believe it. Because, you know, it's one of those topics that drives a conversation a little bit. So, but we have a lot of them that we're going to continue to get to. And I wanted to revisit, we were talking about the over-under that was set for Arkansas's wins by Vegas. Because let's be honest, even if you're not a betting man, you know that Vegas is very good at what they do when it comes to betting lines and spreads and all that fun stuff. There's a reason why they're in the business, because they're really good at it. And they gave it for the rest of the SEC, not just for Arkansas. I want to look at the SEC West, because I find this fascinating. Gee, who do you think has the large or the highest over-under amount of wins in the SEC West? Alabama. Okay, they're set at 10.5. Okay? It's about right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know that they're going to get double-digit wins, since they've gotten double-digit wins essentially every year that Nick Saban's been there.
That'd be the highest.
Yes. Yeah. Under them, Auburn, set at 9. Okay. That makes sense, too. Auburn's had some, you know, they got Gus Malzahn. They have some players coming back.
I mean, we would commonly consider them the second best team right now.
Yeah, at least the second most established team for sure.
Yeah.
Third, Mississippi State at 8 wins.
That's where it gets a little
With a new coach at Mississippi State, 8 wins.
And how many Razorback fans do you think are thinking, you know, we can get to a bowl this year, because I bet we could go to Mississippi State and maybe win a game with a new coach. And, you know, I bet by November, maybe you could have your program ready to go to Starkville and win this year.
I mean, I think a lot of them are. And then you tell
them that Vegas is predicting 8 wins for the Mississippi State Bulldogs
versus your 5.5.
And that gives you an idea, at least what Vegas thinks your 5.5. Mississippi State 8, that's a cold bucket of water on your campfire right there.
Yep. And the fact that Mississippi State is above the next team, LSU, who has 7.5 wins. LSU, who was playing for a national title, or at least contending for one year in and year out, who decided to get rid of Les Miles, go with Ed Orgeron as he was the interim coach, brought him in, paid a lot for assistant coaches. 7.5 wins at the LSU Tigers.
So that's number four.
Yeah, that's number four. So Texas A&M at 7. Ole Miss at 6. And then Arkansas at 5.5.
Oh, Arkansas was last.
Dead last. Now, they're not last in the conference. They're tied with Tennessee. Tennessee is at 5.5. And Vanderbilt's at 5.
Right, okay.
Which, luckily for Arkansas, they play Vanderbilt this year.
Thank God for Vanderbilt.
Seriously.
The only thing that surprises me is that Arkansas is behind Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is going through a lot of the same things that Arkansas is right now, but I would think that Arkansas retained more talent and then Arkansas beat Ole Miss last year. But none of the other teams in the conference that are ahead of Arkansas and where they're really at doesn't surprise me as much. I think I probably have Mississippi State more at 7 or 6.5, but
and here you brought up real quick, but you brought up Ole Miss, and they have a little above Arkansas at 6. They not only do they have pretty much the same conference schedule as Arkansas because they're both in the same division, but they also play Vanderbilt. That's what just like Arkansas does, but they also have to play at South Carolina and Texas Tech, the non-conference. Arkansas doesn't have those two games. They have the non-conference that's pretty winnable. So even then, Ole Miss has a much tougher schedule, and they're still saying Ole Miss will have more wins than Arkansas.
You ever wonder how we come up with expectations, how we ever put a win total? You ever wonder how did that hurricane get that big? How did it start? What did it look like when it came off the coast of Africa? This is the start of the little thunderstorm coming off the coast of Africa that we're talking about this morning, where it's just a thunderstorm kind of brewing out there 10,000 miles way out in the Atlantic. And now here we are talking about it, April 17th. Vegas comes out with a with an over under win total of 5.5. We talk about this all summer long, and I'm always fascinated about these things of how do we get to the point where we think that the season should be X number of wins. And I'm always fascinated how that conversation evolves, how that conversation marinates, how that conversation brews. This is where it begins.
Yeah. It starts
this
here.
Is the little thunderstorm coming off the coast out there, 10,000 miles out in the ocean. And over the series of weeks and months that we're going to discuss these things, not daily, but weekly, this thing's going to build into a Category 4 or 5 by the time August rolls around. And I guarantee you, we're talking about 4 or 5 wins. Nick's under it. You know, he doesn't think they'll win 5.5, or he'll go under on that. You know, I think they can maybe get to a bowl game, and I'm heavy on the maybe.
Yeah, I have them at 6, best case scenario.
But I guarantee if we wrote it down right now, and I guarantee if those listing right now wrote down, oh, I think they can win 3 or 4. I don't think there's going to be, you know, the most pessimistic fan out there will talk themselves up a win and a half or 2 wins between April 17th and August 17th.
Oh, for sure.
And it's amazing. I just find this whole dance we do between April and August to be fascinating.
It's fun.
And where does it come from? How do we come up when no football's being played, no practices are being had, no recruiting's being done, no nothing's happening? It's talking season. So how do we go from X number, you know, number, you know, this number of wins to this number of wins? And it's not just an Arkansas thing. This happens in every fan base, in every market across the South, essentially. This is where the conversation, this is the thunderstorm rolling off the African coast that's going to turn into that Category 5 that's going to wipe out your town 4 months from now.
People start.
I just find that, I find the process we emotionally go through as fans interesting.
Well, people start listening to us, start listening to the media, start listening to SEC Network, guys.
What are we listening to? But it's this kind of information,
yes,
that
exactly.
You're, that's good information. I just think the process is interesting.
It is. It is.
So how do we come up with these things? Well, it's a little bit over here. Vegas sets this line. It's this conversation you listen to with Chad Morris following spring practice. This speech he gave in Fort Smith the other night, or last night he had 600 in Texarkana, or in the things he's saying, the things going on, injuries in the offseason, things, you know, players showing up early, just, you know, and you put it all in the pot of stew and you keep stirring it up.
Well, and adding to that point, Tommy, if we were able in the media, and I mean us local media, we're able to go and check out some practices or some scrimmages or whatnot during the fall camp.
Mm-hmm.
If we're sitting there and we see the offensive line blocking really good, we're like, oh man, this offensive line's improved. But it's hard to distinguish between that, or is the defensive line just trash? Which I think happened a lot of times in the Brett Bielema era, where you had, because I remember specifically, I was looking at the defensive line in 2016. And I was sitting there, I was like, man, these guys are just eating this offensive line apart. I mean, they are just ripping them. They look so good, they have depth, they have athleticism, this is going to be a nasty defensive line. But in reality, it was just the offensive line was so poor that it made the defensive line. So that's another thing, because when they play each other, what are you going to say as someone who covers the team or someone in the media? Because I'm guilty of this too. I'm not pointing fingers. But what are you going to say? You're going to say the offensive line looks improved, or are you going to say the defensive line sucks?
Yeah. Former Razorback quarterback Tyler Wilson joins us here on the show now. Tyler, I think it's interesting how we as fans, we as media, evolve this conversation when not one snap, not one practice, not one anything's being had. I mean, you guys as players have practices and, you know, team activities over the summer, but as players, when you were there, what conversations did y'all have about expectations? I mean, I know it's one game at a time, and you know the company line, we're going to try to win them all, and all. You know, was there an evolution of conversation about expectations that went on like we have as fans?
Well, first of all, the only time I think I've ever trained my mind to have expectations for a season were on this radio show. And like the other day, I'm sitting, seriously,
so we're to blame,
you know, I mean, the other day I'm on here and I'm talking about, you know, if we could get to a bowl game this year, and I'm sitting here going, God, I'm so cowardly. I never think that way. I've never thought that way ever in my life. I'm just, you know, even in the maybe the first year of Petrino, we knew we had a lot of rebuilding to do, and we didn't think we were going to win the national championship. But I mean, it was almost like every year since then, it was, you know, why can't we win it all? You know, and I know that's, you know, pie in the sky, and that you're drinking the Kool-Aid as a player, and that's what you're supposed to do. Is the coaches deep down in their mind know we're going to have to scratch and fight to get, you know, 6, 7, 8 wins. But, you know, in the team meeting room and in the auditorium, if you don't believe that you're the best football team on the planet, or at least that's not what's being told to you, and the ideas and the concepts of what you're learning on a day-to-day basis is as good or better than anybody else, then what the heck are we doing here? And that's, you know, that's a difference between the player's mentality and, you know, everybody else on the planet, that it doesn't have the consequences from thinking realistically. Yeah. And, you know, that's the biggest difference. So, you know, it is talking season. Spurrier coined all that phrase. Right. But, you know, I think the player's perspective and the general public's perspective, totally different.
Yeah. So when Vegas comes out and says 5.5 is the over-under on wins, is that where you as a fan out there, is that where you initially set yours? Or do you have a different mindset? Or do you already expect more or expect less? Or do you think, yeah, 5.5, that's about the right number. That's about the ballpark I think is right. Because I think we yield to Vegas and their knowledge. Because they don't build all them big, tall, shiny buildings for being dummies. 5.5 sounds about right, you know.
Well, I mean, I guess that's exactly where I would have been. I said, you know, if we could make a bowl game, then that exceeds my expectations. Was what I said yesterday. At 5.5 wins, you're not going bowling.
I just think the conversation of where we start the process of developing expectations is, and this is kind of where it begins, you know, at least for me. So I think that's interesting. Hey, the Kevin Hickey Law Team is made up of experienced, caring individuals centered around divorce, child in custody, plus DHS matters and more, serving the Fort Smith and Northwest Arkansas areas. They'll help you make the right decision at the Kevin Hickey Law Firm. 479-434-2414, south of the tunnel. If you're north of the tunnel, it's 479-802-6560. But if you're driving and can't write any of that down, let me make it simple. KevinHickeyLaw.com. You can remember that. They know what you're going through with the Kevin Hickey Law Team. Experience caring individuals with your best interest in mind. Divorce, child in custody, and DHS matters and more. KevinHickeyLaw.com, where clients are the main priority from start to finish.
Coming up next, more of the Morning Rush and a topic that I really want to get into going off of Arkansas football. You don't want to miss it.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
The most honest sports radio show in Arkansas. This is The Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into The Morning Rush on this Toyota Tuesday, where you can go and check out Toyota's all-new 2018 vehicles today at your Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room for up to 8 people. You can also check out the stylish new Corolla, the work-ready, family-tough Tundra, and the go-anywhere 4Runner. Toyota, let's go places. Tommy, did you see I wrote an article?
I did.
Can you believe that? On hitthatline.com. I wrote. I sat down and I typed up. I felt like I was in college again. Because I was sitting there writing up an article dealing with Chad Morris. And it's, if you want to check it out, because some people may prefer the reading style of content or media or dealing with the Razorbacks rather than listening to the radio or whatever it may be.
But well, we hope not. Yeah. I mean, we hope they enjoy both.
Well, if they're listening to the show, then they must enjoy listening to the radio.
Right.
At least listening to us every morning. But check it out, because I wrote it, and how I phrased it, at least in the headline, was I feel bad for Chad Morris. And what I mean by that is that given the circumstance and given the situation that he's had to put himself in at Arkansas, it's not, I won't say it's a terrible situation, but it's a less than ideal situation for a coach who's got a lot of energy, who's trying to rejuvenate and re-energize a fan base that had felt like they were betrayed and left out. It kind of just, he's having to put the pieces to get back together in this state. I think he's doing a fine job so far. I think he's doing everything that he possibly can. But if you look at this current situation, it's incredible to me. And this is someone who's grown up in Arkansas. I know I'm not as old as you, Tommy, although I'm catching up to you here pretty soon.
You'll be there before you know
it. I'll be there before I know it. I have never seen it to where it's just feels like it's this down on itself. And there's a lot of reasons and a lot of factors, but I feel like the past 5 years under Brett Bielema, I know we like to pile on the guy, but the previous 5 years under Brett Bielema with the athletic director Jeff Long and how that all turned out, it just seemed like the fans are broken right now to a point to where it can't just be a new coach bringing in new energy. It can't just be that to be able to get him back. It just has to come down to winning. Mm-hmm. And that you can say that for every single problem that you have at college football program. But I just feel bad for him because you know he's coming in here. And this, what he's seeing now, I'm sure he's seen some excitement. He's seen some fans and all that. But what he's seeing now is not the normal, regular definition of Razorback fandom and excitement towards the football program.
No. And I feel like, you know, listening to him at Razorback Club events and listening to him out of normal press conference mode, he's having to, I hate to use the word beg, but he's having to plead for support using, you know, let's lock arms, but asking people to show up, you know, buy your tickets, be there. And makes me wonder where they're kind of at right now with ticket season or season ticket renewals and, you know, this North End Zone project. I think they've sold a lot of that, but makes you wonder about the rest of the stadium, where they're at with some of that and people jumping from the South End Zone to the North End Zone. And Some of these type of things. But, yeah, I hear that in at least in the one or two times I've heard him address fans in more of a fan-type setting rather than a press conference-type setting. But, Tyler, I think that's the one thing, is he'll experience what the true Razorback fan base is like. And I think the one thing that has surprised him and one thing he has said in the time I've been around him is, you know, I think what's caught him off guard, the thing that surprised him the most, and when he was on the show with us, is he didn't expect the Razorback, you know, the way the Razorbacks are the central focus. It's the only thing. There is no pro team. There is no other college team. It consumes our state, I think, has been a bit of a surprise to him.
Yeah, and I guess, the three that I've got to go off of since I've really been around and been born, been, you know, the hiring of Houston Nutt and, you know, the season one of Houston Nutt, which, you know, ignited the fan base back into kind of, I guess, the mid-70s mode, right, or early 70s mode of Lou Holtz. And then you've got, you know, the hiring of Bobby Petrino, which was coming at the end of all of the circus and madness, which, right, wrong, or indifferent, you know, good publicity is bad publicity for your program, I guess. You know, it was just kind of one of those deals. People still cared following the Springdale Five and the Gus Malzahn, and there was a fire that was ignited within the state, and then the hiring of Petrino kind of brought everybody back together. And then, you know, since that, I mean, even Bielema, the hiring of Bielema was a big name. People cared because you'd seen your program and relevance within the last, you know, 2 years is strong as it's ever been in the history of the program. And then, you know, I totally agree that the excitement level for Chad Morris, he's not seeing the fan base excitement that we've seen over the course of the last 30 years. And for whatever reason, it is lower right now. And I think it's the heartstrings of the fan base have just been pulled out from underneath them. And, you know, they're just, at what point do you just push the hesitate button, and you know it's a rebuilding year, and you know it's a, you know, that kind of a theme right now.
You look at the coaching hires, and I like how you brought that up, Tyler, because to me, that's what it has to do with more than anything, is that the past few coaching hires that Arkansas has, I'm talking about legit ones, and throw out John L. Smith. You had Brett Bielema, who was coming from a program at Wisconsin who had won three straight Big Ten titles, who had a lot of success, double-digit win seasons. And so even if people didn't think he was the best hire ever, they were like, man, this guy's got the resume. Even before then, Bobby Petrino, he had the issues there in Atlanta where he left early and it caused his whole hubbub. But he had
but he
success.
Was here.
He was coming to Arkansas. Exactly. Yeah. He was an NFL coach.
There you go. He was a coach in the NFL. He just hired an NFL football coach and didn't just hire him. You pulled him out of the locker room. Like, yeah. he was... Yeah.
And like, he,
And he mid-season.
Took, and yeah. he took Louisville to the Orange Bowl.
Yes.
You know, this is a guy that had a lot of success.
Yes.
And he ran an exciting brand of offense.
That's right. And he had, and he just had that mentality that people were hoping to see, that offense, offensive style. So, and Houston Nutt, of course, he wasn't the big name, but he was a guy that people were familiar with. Even Danny Ford. I mean, the guy won a national championship. It just, you have had guys in the past 20 years, essentially, of Razorback football, the head coaches that were hired, that had resumes, that had familiarity, that had people that they were really excited about the potential. And then you insert Chad Morris, where there is some excitement. There is some people that feel like he can get it done, or he, they really like him and think that he'll be a good coach for Arkansas. But he doesn't have that resume. He doesn't have that familiarity. He doesn't have the connection to Arkansas football. So it's a whole new feeling for Razorback fans, where they don't have any of those elements that they had before, where it's like, okay, this guy may work out, but who is he again? They don't have that. So it's going to take some time for fans to get there. And I'm not, and I think that they will get there as long as he wins and shows direction and shows success. But it just shows you how beaten down, how broken this fan base has become. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't just happen over, oh, this past season is what did it. They have been worn down for the past 5 years, essentially, being told things that didn't happen. Being told things by, whether it was Bielema that's saying, oh, we're getting better, we're close, this is going to be great. They were told by everybody that this team's going to get improved. I'm going to give you something that you've never had before. Yeah, you did, but not in the positive way, not in the good way. And so fans have just got tired of being told things, being told that things are great, that things are going to be good, they're going to look up, and it didn't happen. So the trust is gone, too. It's just in a bad way, and that's why when I wrote that article and hitthatline.com, when I said I felt bad for Chad Morris, that's what I mean. I feel bad for him because he is coming into a situation that's a tough one, and he is not getting, his first impression is not one that is indicative of what the Razorback fan base is truly all about and their excitement on the year-out-to-year-out basis. Mm-hmm.
But I think a 3-0 start,
it can change that. Beating Texas A&M can change that.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
You know, you talk about the two previous coaches, and that would be, it would be Houston Nutt, and what Houston was able to accomplish early. And I know we talk about the situation and what he inherited, and he inherited a good team of veteran players, and found a way to get those guys and rally those guys to having an unbelievable year one. I mean, you know, those opportunities, maybe it's not the same setting, and it's an apples to oranges comparison here. But, you know, you look at Houston Nutt and how many games, you know, he was able to win and go to championship games, and the Darren, the Felix, and Peyton Hillis backfield, and the excitement that was, and then the Springdale Five, and then Bobby with, you know, the 10 and 11 win years. You really had two coaches back-to-back that, although they weren't Houston, you know, you argue could have, you know, people I think go, oh, we could have had a little better success over him. But you look back over his career and go, yeah, he was pretty good at Arkansas.
Yeah.
Same thing with Petrino, obviously pretty good at Arkansas. And then Bielema, you didn't hit the level mark. You didn't hit the expectation. It was kind of, in a lot of people's minds, a miss. And, you know, that's the, you can't have misses in coaching. I mean, it deflates the fan base. And you had to, honestly, I think the two hires with Houston Nutt and Petrino, you want to shape the vision of Arkansas football and shape the realm any differently. Those are two excellent hires, in my opinion, and shape, you know, 20 years of the athletic program. But obviously, this setback in the last group has put you in the situation that you're in today, and I do think Chad can come in here early and make a difference and ignite people. But it's going to take wins. It's no promotion, no publicity. It's raw wins will change the feeling, I think, here for a lot of people.
Brad tweeted into the show and said, "What would the excitement level be like if Malzahn had been hired as coach?" And I do think it would be different.
It would be different.
That's unfair to Chad Morris.
But he has the resume and he has familiarity.
He has familiarity and he's an in-state product. And in Northwest Arkansas and the western side of the state would be a buzz. It would be different.
Yeah.
would be different.
Even
though the offenses would basically be the same, and the roster would be the same, I don't know what difference in the recruiting, how the recruiting would have closed differently. You'll never know that, but there would be a three or four fold difference in the excitement level right now.
And what you said right there is a reason why most people, there was that big push. There was that heck or high water to go get him at one point, and there was holding out. That was the reason. You've got Ignite, and people knew that the excitement level with that. Whether that was right, wrong, or indifferent, it didn't make a difference, and Chad's going to be running the same kind of system.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I want to invite you over to Gaston's White River Resort. 870-431-5202 is their number to make a reservation this morning. If you've been thinking about a trip to Gaston's, but you're just not sure because, hey, my wife has never been trout fishing. She's interested in going, but, you know, she doesn't really know about touching bait, touching fish, all those things, all those excuses. You don't have to worry about any of that at Gaston's, or maybe your kids, and maybe you say, well, I'm not really sure I know how to run a boat or whatever on that river. Hey, don't worry about it. They got experienced guides with over 30 years of experience that can take care of everything from tying on the baits and the lures and everything you need to choosing what kind of bait, because they know they fish every day on the White River. So they know whether it's live bait or whether, you know, if you're a fly fisherman, they can help you with that. They got guides for fly fishing as well. They can help you do exactly what you need to, and they take care of everything. They tie everything on. They take care of the fish. All you got to do is sit back, relax, and enjoy Mother Nature, enjoy the scenery, enjoy the river, and enjoy the fishing. Go catching, not fishing. It'll be a great time when you get a guide. It's the only way to go, and you'll be hooked. I promise you once you do this. 870-431-5202. They'll get you a great cabin, a great house, great lodge there that fits you and your family's needs. They'll take care of your dinner reservations. They'll take care of everything. It's a first-class time. We say every time because it is. They take care of every aspect. The customer service is wonderful at Gaston's. You look out the window because every one of their cabins fronts the river, so you have a great view of the river from each and every one of their lodges. So you'll really enjoy it. Plus, when you go have your meal at the restaurant, every table gets a great view of the White River as well. 870-431-5202. It's 870-431-5202. And get a great guide and enjoy the White River on your next trip to Gaston's. Gaston's White River Resort. A first-class time every time.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I've got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
You ever get lucky, Tommy?
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. I'm John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason, Tyler Wilson, all bringing it to you today. Thank you for making us a part of your day today on this Toyota Tuesday, where you can check out all new 2018 Toyota vehicles at your Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people. You can also check out the Corolla, the Tundra, the Forerunner. They got it all going on over at Toyota. So go check them out. Where Toyota, let's go places. And we've been discussing mainly about Arkansas football and all that, but I want to deviate a little bit from it because this is a storyline that I find fascinating. Because Nick Saban, the Alabama head coach, he's kind of, you know, we have a commissioner in the SEC, but it's really Nick Saban who runs the show in this conference. At least that's how the perception has always been. And Nick Saban's also a genius when it comes to hiring people. He gets guys that where you can only have 10 assistant coaches or whatever, but he hires analysts. And he has these guys that are, what is it, 50 to 60 guys that come in and aren't coaches, but they might as well be coaches. They don't have the official title, but they help out in some form or in some fashion.
And there's no limit on those in the SEC, right?
That's right. So he has been able to do that. Now, you've seen him hire with Butch Jones, for instance. Butch Jones, former Tennessee head coach. He's over there helping Alabama, which is hilarious.
Is he not running the barber shop over there?
No, he's not. He's not running the barber shop.
He's high and tight.
I think Nick Stevenson, a press conference, he's more of an intern, which cracks me up. The head coach of a former head coach of a major SEC program is now considered a quote-unquote intern and another program. So it's amazing how far he has fallen. But Nick Saban wanted to make another hire this offseason of a former SEC coach who had success in Hugh Freeze. We heard the rumors about it. Apparently he was spotted in Tuscaloosa. Maybe they were going to work out some type of similar deal for Hugh Freeze, because let's be honest, if you got somebody who has had the SEC experience, who's been able to coach successful teams, why not give him a shot and bring it in? Well, it fell through. He ended up not being hired at Alabama. And the reason why is because apparently SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey encouraged it not to happen. Now, you can read between the lines. It was probably not as nice sounding as encouraging, saying, hey, Nick, you can do what you want, but we probably won't let this. We really don't need to go this route. I think it was probably, hey, well, we need to keep distancing ourselves from Hugh Freeze and the fiasco he's caused.
Okay, but how do you, if you're Greg Sankey and you're the SEC, how do you, over on one hand, say, nope, Ole Miss, we got a show cause, we got all these things, and there was a two-game suspension. I don't think it's a show cause, but we're going to suspend this guy, and you're being punished for his actions, right? He can't be the head coach. That's the key here. He can't be the head coach at Ole Miss. And you fire this guy, and that's a punishment, right? But we're going to allow another team in our league to benefit from his services? That doesn't seem fair to Ole Miss. Hey, we're going to basically back you into a corner till you have to fire the guy. And he can't be the head coach, but we're going to allow one of your rivals to hire him and work against you? That doesn't seem even fair. That doesn't seem just.
Not just a rival. That's the state next door.
the rivalry.
And the best team in the league, of the last seven national championships, they've been in five of them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem, and I don't want to use the word fair, because fair, we all know in sports, is all just kind of, it's just,
it doesn't exist.
It's dog eat dog.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, this is why the NFL serves the way the NFL serves. And they pay the players what they pay the players, and they pay the coaches what they pay the coaches, and there's certain rules set in place to equalize the playing field, salary cap, how many players you can have on each team, how many coaches you can have on. All of those rules are in place for the Al Davis any given Sunday. And for the playing field to be as level and as equal as possible. Now, I know the Patriots have been in, five Super Bowls over the last, whatever years. But they've done it in a way that should be what they're doing back at the Bill Walsh days, and what they're doing with Belichick, it should be impossible. And that's why everybody thinks it's so great, is because if you win the Super Bowl, you're punished the next year. You're punished with the last draft pick, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's why it's so great, and people have that vision. In college football, it should be, this is amateurism, right? So the playing field in terms of athletes, it's not equal, because we'll go to the highest bidder. Unfortunately, you go into the highest bidder. You go into the school that's got more resources. You go into the school that's got more gear. You're going to the school that's got more facilities. You're going to the school that's got more boosters. You're going to the school that's got more coaches on their staff. See where I'm headed with this? Mm-hmm. It's not right. Maybe Saban is the commissioner, but Sankey obviously is headed in the right direction here, and there has to be a mandate on coaches and, per staff, whether that's analyst or whatever you call them. Yeah. That's the tricky part here.
But as far as Hugh Freeze, I don't know how you can say he's suspended over here as the head coach,
but he can work over here.
But he'd go over here to your rival and be an analyst. I, I,
That don't, no, no, that don't fly with
I
me.
I feel that that makes perfect sense in why. I feel like if you're going to, I know there's no such thing as fairness.
You're either in the league or you're out of the league. There's no, you know, you're out as a head coach, but it's okay to work over here. You know, it's kind of like being fired. Hey, you're fired here from your full-time job. You can still work part-time.
Yeah, that's.
But that happened. Where does that work in life? I mean, that doesn't work.
Yeah, and no, and I completely agree with that. It's just it's a funny thing how Nick Saban just he thinks about these things, and obviously a lot of these coaches, like a Butch Jones, for instance, could Butch Jones have gotten a smaller head coaching job? I feel like he could have, but he's going to work for Nick Saban.
But why? If you're Butch Jones, financially, you're working for free if you take one of these smaller head coaching jobs. Because Tennessee still owes you a boatload of money.
Essentially, yeah. So it's one of those things, too, that maybe some of these coaches are...
He's working for free for Alabama, essentially.
Maybe some of these coaches are looking at this as a step in the right direction where they're not technically a head coach, but maybe they can get back into the limelight and have some positivity for them.
Associating yourself with Nick Saban, Tyler, is never a bad thing for your resume.
I think they've watched Lane Kiffin. I think they've watched Kirby Smart. I think they've watched, you know, every coach that's coached under Saban has found a way to get another job, even when it's like in the depths of despair or they're into their coaching career. I mean, a lot of people did not feel like Lane Kiffin would ever get a head coaching job again. Following, you know, the debacle at Tennessee and USC and obviously early on in Oakland, I mean, he's had so many chances and it's continued to blow up on him. And you know, Saban lended a helping hand, and all of a sudden, he's back in conversation to be one of the elite minds of college football again and get another head coaching job when he probably should have stayed, you know, another year or so, but he still gets a, you know, he gets the, is it the FAU job?
Right.
So, you know, and had a really good first year. So, a lot of people have resurrected their careers that way, and I think, you know, that's a lot of the line of thinking with these guys.
But I also think that shows the brilliance of Nick Saban and why he is the best college football coach of all time is because he thinks of these things. He doesn't just throw things out. He doesn't have a pride issue when it comes to winning. He will do whatever it takes to win.
Well, and who's on his schedule next year? Tennessee and Ole Miss.
That's right.
Well, who's going to be better to help him put together a game plan, scout those teams, know their personnel, know the tendencies of the players, so on and so forth, and I don't know, the former head coach of those teams, you know. So there's some benefit to Alabama as far as just, even if it's for that one game next year. Are those guys worth 60, 70, 80,000, 100,000, whatever you're going to pay them as an analyst? These guys don't make a ton of money as analysts. I mean, it's not as lucrative as you might think. To have him around just to extract the knowledge for that one game a year.
Wouldn't be surprised if he had Bielema around. I mean, and maybe he was thinking about it, or maybe he just knows that he has no problem beating Arkansas anyway, so he doesn't need it. But, you know, wouldn't surprise me.
He knows the resentment. I mean, John Gruden's the guy that started all this with the Fired Football Coaches Association, right? And I have a vendetta against the university that just kicked me out the door, and I'm going to do everything in my power to give the power to somebody else to beat the heck out of them. It's as simple as that. Between John Gruden, it's the Glazer family. He hates those guys because they wouldn't let him draft a first-round draft pick at quarterback. They wouldn't let him get the guy he wanted, a young player that he felt he could build the franchise on. They were limiting him in a lot of directions, obviously kick him out the door. So he's got a huge buyout, so he can't take a job, you know, in coaching and still get the money. So he gets into broadcasting and media. It's the same deal with these guys. I mean, hire me as a consultant and don't pay me anything, and I'll find a way to give you all the information you need to kick their tail this year. I mean, that, and Saban knows that mentality exists with all these coaches that have been fired, and why not use that to my advantage? Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's where he sits on a day-to-day basis. And I'm he's the reason why every one of those coaches at the universities are getting fired.
Maybe he just feels bad for them all. Hey, well, I kind of owe you a job.
Yeah. Maybe it's the case. But again, it goes back to the brilliance of Nick Saban. I mean, it's one of those things where it's past people hating Alabama or hating Nick Saban. It's almost like you have to sit back and just be like, this dude thinks about things and does things that gives him an advantage that most coaches don't even – it doesn't even cross their minds to give him an advantage. And he's not done yet. The guy's won 5 titles in 9 years. You feel like he put it on cruise control. You feel like maybe he's like, all right, well, I've made my peace. I'm getting older. That's not how he's wired. And he's going to continue that. And that's why – I mean, we are at the point now. And it's because I can't think of another team in another conference, really, here, at least in recent history, that has been this way, where it's like, it's not even a question who's winning the SEC.
Yeah.
Now, Georgia could do some stuff. I know they did it last year. Maybe they can build up and be a little competition. But at least in the West, it doesn't matter. Like, they're not even on the radar. We don't even discuss Alabama. Yeah. Well, they're winning the West. Who's in second this year is really how it's going to be. Yeah. Just shows his brilliance.
Yeah. Hey, Supercuts offers consistent quality haircuts, offering you the customer, the high-trained stylist that you deserve in Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley. Those finishing touches you're always looking for, including that hot towel treatment, guys, that when you're getting the hair shampooed at the end, they put that hot towel on your face. It's relaxing and a great way to end a great haircut at Supercuts. Plus, they got all the great products you need for men, women, and children. So they take care of all the haircuts for the entire family. Color services, haircuts, waxing, they do it all at Supercuts. Plus, like we said, the products as well. Paul Mitchell, American Crew, Biologen, and so much more. Northwest Arkansas and the River Valley. And here's the other thing I love about Supercuts. 7 days a week. Sunday, Monday, they're there. And when a lot of times you go to your neighborhood barbershop, they may be closed on Sundays and Mondays. Supercuts, conveniently serving you 7 days a week. Supercuts, clean, sharp, ready.
The most honest sports radio show in Arkansas. The Morning Rush continues. Download the Morning Rush podcast anytime at hitthatline.com and free on iTunes. This is the Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into the Morning Rush. Me and Tommy have a busy week going on this week. Nick's going to be back here not doing anything, just hanging out.
Me too. I'm flying to Dallas this weekend, I think.
You know, Tommy was needing your plane to fly somewhere.
He didn't tell me until today.
I didn't understand. I didn't know we had to make a schedule.
After all those remotes, we got your schedule.
He didn't tell me. I think the plane flies.
Hey, tell me where the schedule's at so I can start booking some stuff.
The schedule for the plane.
Yeah, give me the. You
just got to catch me when I'm in a good mood.
Can we Bart to go to Branson because we got to be in Branson on Friday?
Was I invited to Branson?
Well, someone's got to run the board.
No, I just asked one question.
Yeah.
Was I invited to Branson?
Yes, you're invited.
But you have to run the board.
You got to run the board. You're invited, but you can't go.
It's a thought that counts, though.
You got to go on the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah. I did. Hey, listen, Tommy's smart, too. Tommy's like, okay, well, Nick's going to be left at the studio for like the next probably 10 years. So let me squeeze this one in right here to make him feel good.
He's on to me.
And
he's
then leave him all the rest of the time.
He's on to me. Hey, we are going to be in Branson this Friday. Actually, south of Branson at Top of the Rock and Big Cedar Lodge. A slice of heaven on earth at the Legends of Golf. BassProLegends.com for details. How about Tiger Woods? How about you some Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods going to be there today to do a kids' clinic. All the activities and festivities kind of get underway today at the Bass Pro Shops Legends of Golf. Tiger's there today. They're going to have like 7,000-plus people there to watch this deal. So it's going to be crowded and going to be a lot of people there. Just kind of kicks the week off. Tournament play begins Thursday. We're going to do the Morning Rush live from there Friday. Looking forward to that. And tournament play continues through Sunday, which will all kind of crescendo with their celebrity skins game with Jack, with Gary. Let's see, who else? Johnny Miller's going to play in the thing. Plus, they got a lot of celebrities like Kid Rock, Mark Wahlberg. Willie Robinson's going to play in it from the Duck Commander. So, I mean, just a lot of big-name celebrities going to be in this thing on Sunday. BassProLegends.com to get your tickets. All of our coverage while we're in Branson is brought to you by the Branson IMAX. So while you're in Branson, a lot of people I know are going to this event because they want to see Jack. They want to see Gary. They want to see John Daly play. They want to see Tom Watson. They want to see all the big names they grew up loving, all the names that they've watched the last 10 or 15 years. Swing by the Branson IMAX. They have renovated the IMAX theater. If you haven't seen it, it's now 4K. They got a 4K laser projection, 12-channel surround sound, and they've got these. Have y'all been to these new theaters? They got the reclining seats and all
game
of the
changer.
They've got all of the VIP seating, providing the ultimate cinematic experience there at the Branson IMAX. So check it out.
Go to BransonIMAX.com for all the details, and you can enjoy that. And they've got a great restaurant, McFarland's, that's there. A lot of stuff going on at the Branson IMAX, which will bring you our coverage on Friday from the Bass Pro Shops Legends of Golf.
I'm looking forward to it.
Hell,
I've never been up there before.
So. I'm telling you, I'm underselling what you're getting ready to see and witness. I mean, this is top of the rock is just an just unbelievable. I mean, it's a slice of heaven on earth. I mean, it's one of those rare places where when money's no object, here's what's possible. Johnny Morris has said, just go create. Here's what I want. There's no budget. Just go create this. All this waterfall. We want a waterfall right here. Create one. You know, and then they got the awesome views of Table Rock, and I mean, just
so he's like the Tommy Kraft of golf courses.
Well,
up there pretty much. Tommy Kraft wants a waterfall in the studio. By God, we get a waterfall.
I'm telling you, it's just unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable the things you're going to see on Friday.
I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be awesome.
$25 to get in this thing. So if you're not doing anything this weekend, I mean, there's not spring football going on. There's baseball teams out of town. They're on the road in Starkville. Why wouldn't you go? It's right in your own backyard. It's a unique event. Why wouldn't you go? And Saturday, the kids get in free with a paid adult. So, I mean, mom and dad can get in for $25 each, and the kids get in free. Why wouldn't you do that? I mean, sounds like a good day to me.
Works for me. I mean, I don't have kids.
And then Saturday, Dude Perfect's going to be there. You may not know him. I may not know him. But your kids know him.
For sure.
And that's the other thing. I know I'm going long here, but they promise they're going to do this deal at 3 o'clock. They're at Top of the Rock. They're going to stay till every kid gets a selfie with them. They don't do photos anymore. They do selfies. So they're going to do selfies with all the kids.
What if you don't want a selfie? What if you just want a regular photo? Will they
allow
that?
They'll do that too.
Okay. That's the key. I'm not a selfie person.
Kids don't want photos. They want selfies.
Kids these days.
Yeah.
No, it'll be a great event, though, and I'm looking forward to it. And I know we're all looking forward to it. So, yeah, stop on by. We already got somebody who actually tweeted at us when they even heard talks saying that they're going to come stop by and see us.
All right.
Seeing up there. So looking forward
I mean,
to that.
It's cool. They said, hey, where do you want to do the show? The question is, do we want to do it at Top of the Rock on Friday morning, which is awesome. We did it in Arnie's Barn last year. We had, like, tons of players stop by. We had we had two Masters champions on the show last year on a morning where it's pouring down rain. Or do we want to go over to Buffalo Ridge where the tournament's going to be going on? So I don't know. We're going to go up there Thursday and kind of figure out where we want to hang out Friday morning.
Decisions.
If we go to Buffalo Ridge, it will be a little more accessible to people that want to just stop in and say hello.
Yeah. So we'll get it figured out. And once we do, we'll let everybody
know. We'll
tweet
it out.
Yeah, where we're going to be. But
kind of leaning towards Buffalo Ridge, but I want to make sure you get to see Top of the Rock.
Yeah. Oh, I want to see everything that I can.
Yeah.
I mean, the way you've been putting it makes it sound like it's...
I've undersold it, I'm telling you.
Undersold. Well, they're good.
And I've undersold it.
And I won't be disappointed. So that's going to be a lot of fun. One thing, though, you guys are betting guys, right? I know Nick is. Nick's a betting man.
Sometimes. Depends on how I feel.
Isn't that how everybody is when they bet? I mean...
And it really depends on what it is, too.
All right, well, here's one for you.
Okay. Coming in here every day is a gamble for me. So.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, gambling can go a lot of different ways. But bet at DSI. They put out their over-unders for victories for every SEC team.
Oh, okay.
So over-unders, yeah, you're good at this.
Sometimes.
Arkansas, 5.5 wins.
You mean, am I taking over or under?
Well, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do?
What do you think?
Oh, under.
Over-unders, yeah.
Under. I'm saying under. No, I thought you were about to ask us what we thought their win total should be set at. Yeah.
Oh,
and
okay.
I thought you were saying that you think it should be.
Was 5.5 right?
5.5.
Start there.
I think so. I think that's a really good one.
I think that's a good number.
Yeah, that's why Vegas is the best in the business when it comes to
4.5
like
would be too low. 6.5 would be too high.
Yeah.
It's got to be half, obviously.
So you go under. You're going 5 or less wins.
Yes. And not, you know, and not too much.
Well,
less,
let me ask,
but.
Do you think they can get to a 3-0 start? Do you think this is a team that will start with this schedule 3-0?
I don't even know who the quarterback is. So it's tough. It's tough for me to say that because there's a growing concern of mine, and this has nothing to do with Connor Nolan and his ability to play, but there's a growing concern of mine that a lot of people keep telling me, oh, well, the quarterback's not on campus. And at first, I was thinking they were talking about the future of the Razorback program. That's fine. No, like, people are really thinking, and which people are wrong a lot more than they're right. But there is a chance that the quarterback that's going to start the first game for you may not be on campus yet. And even if he is, there's another concern that the quarterback may be the best player on the offensive side of the football.
Well, that's true.
I'm still going back to that because I thought when Kraft made that statement, I was thinking he's just saying, hey, you know, the quarterback should be your best player. If you want to have a good team, the quarterback should be. No, he's saying, hey, I've seen the other guys, and the quarterback spot is right along with the wide receivers, right along. It's definitely better than the bad offensive line, but right along.
But what about the tight ends? I mean, running backs.
Running backs, you got Whaley. I mean, you got a, you know,
Chase Hayden.
Hold on, okay, okay. Let me ask you something real quick. What did they do last year?
What did any of these guys
do? But here's my problem.
Exactly.
Here's my problem.
And that's going back to that point.
Here's my problem with the running backs. Who's opening the holes? So you can be a great run. I mean, Darren McFadden can be back there. How effective can Darren McFadden be against SEC defenses behind that offensive line?
And I really don't, and I'm not trying to be funny, I really don't remember. Like, did they do anything of significance last year, the running backs?
They won four games as a team.
There was nothing significant going to be done
and
about
so,
that.
And so in saying that, now we're talking about the offense. I really don't want to hear any of you tell me, oh, well, the defense is going to be better this year, because I've been hearing that for the last 10 years, it seems like, and I hadn't even been here for 10 years. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to jump out to a 3-0 start, because there aren't just a ton of games that you're just going down the schedule marking, okay, this is an automatic win. I don't know how many of those games are out there. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like with maybe this is, we won't know, but maybe with coaching and putting guys in position to be successful, maybe they'll at least be able to make some noise.
And,
but
now, I understand what you're going to say, and I know everybody's going to say, "Well, look at where SMU was." I mean, like, this guy didn't reinvent the wheel. It's not like he was somewhere and won 10 games. He's coming to a team that has less talent compared to the other teams in the league. Then the one he just left, and he won how many games?
He won seven.
So, now, once again, SMU was in a very, very, very bad spot, and I understand that. But it comes down to how much talent do you have on your team versus the other teams that you are consistently playing. Mm. And his situation did not get better going from SMU to Arkansas. When you're talking about who they can recruit versus who they're playing and who Arkansas can recruit versus who Arkansas is playing, his situation outside of the amount of money that's directly deposited into his account every 2 weeks, that was the only thing that improved. And, you know, his facilities and all that. But everybody in the SEC has that.
Improved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, but everybody in the SEC has that.
Well,
so,
but it is a good entry point, A, at Arkansas, and B, right now, is Ole Miss in a better spot than they were a year ago? I mean, or 2 years ago? Certainly not 2 years ago. Is Mississippi State? No. I mean, you know, who's in a better spot right now? Yeah.
I mean, is LSU even in a better
spot? Alabama's always in a good spot. Auburn's probably about where they were.
Is LSU going to be better?
Is A&M? We'll find out they get a new coach. But
now, and I agree with everything you guys are saying.
I mean.
But then, whenever a team is five notches ahead of you, even if they're not any better, and you're kind of the same. I mean, to go to five notches to two notches ahead, they're still ahead. So every program now, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, they're not. All that is just a coin flip. But all those other programs, regardless of what we may think about the head coaches and this and that, they're all still multiple notches ahead of Arkansas at this point in the game.
But you're just like everyone else, with the exception of those two or three programs I listed: Bama, LSU, Auburn, maybe A&M. You're just trying to finish third or fourth in the division, then figure out how to get to the next level. Right now, you're just in a spot. How do I get to third? Maybe second, but if everything fell right in a year. But, you know, and no one wants to say that out loud, but that's the reality. How can I finish third in the league? How can I finish third in the division?
Time.
You know, because you know what? Third in this division might get you New Year's Day 6 if everything else around the country fell right. Might.
Maybe.
Might.
Yeah.
Could get you like a peach bowl or something, you know. Cotton bowl or something. Depending on the year. And the
hot oil falls down.
Yeah. So, but, particularly if you have a year like two SEC teams are playing in the national championship game, which I was told never would happen. But
yeah, it did. You know, it did. So that's the way college football goes. But we'll talk about this, though. It's an interesting topic. And I tell you what, if you love hearing Nick Mason talk, you're going to love our next segment. Three in the Lane with Nick Mason coming up next. This is the Morning Rush.
This is Toyota 2.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.